This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right. Glad to be back. Took a couple of days off. Went to Florida. Saw my son in college. Got away a little bit at the end of February. But now it is March. And we are rolling along in March. We have got a couple of conference tournaments going on there, the mid-major conference tournaments. We've also got the conference, more of the big major ones, coming up next week. And then, of course, we've got Selection Sunday and all that. Good month. But also, the Combine is going on as the NFL machine keeps going on and on and on. And when I left the show on Friday, one of the topics that I had talked about was there was a report. There was another one of those mock drafts that came out that showed Florida quarterback Anthony Richardson was starting to move up the draft board. And he could be taken number one overall, given that he has size and incredible arm strength. But the thing that is holding Anthony Richardson back a bit was that on the field, he's very indecisive and he makes kind of wrong decisions and he needs to read situations a bit better. But those are teachable things. And if you are a coach in the NFL, you can't teach size and you can't really teach arm strength. If you can get those right away, you can really mold a player. And when I was down in Florida this week, I felt like there was a real buzz that one of their own could be taken number one. Now, this is the strange thing. That's the thing that happens with mock drafts. We have a whole industry that is based on total speculation, but as I said on Friday, we have an entire industry that's not only based on speculation and analysis and everything and basically guessing, but it is also based in a world where you better be different than your competitor, even at the risk of putting out some claim that's really, really over the top. And I think that's where this industry starts to break down a little bit. For example, it's one thing if we all sit around a room, let's say me, a couple of other media guys, even you, and we were all in a room and we started saying, all right, who are the teams that are the favorites to win the Super Bowl out of the AFC? All right, just keep it in the AFC. Name me the teams that can win the Super Bowl. Well, you would say, all right, Kansas City, Cincinnati, Buffalo, right? We would go down the list of the teams that have a potential to win the Super Bowl that have got a good quarterback. But what if you went, no, I think it's going to be the Houston Texans, right? What do you mean the Houston Texans? They don't even have a quarterback. We don't even know who they're taking. But you just did it just to be different, just to escape the Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen world of the AFC. And you went way rogue to make a little bit of a name for yourself. That's similar to what goes on for a lot of people in mock drafts. Now, they don't get too crazy, right? We don't see draft experts saying, you've not seen this kid from Virginia Wesleyan, but let me tell you, he should be the number one pick in the draft, right? We don't see that. But we do see guys saying, look, I can't just repeat what Todd McShay and Mel Kiper are saying. I've got to be different. They're paying me to be different. So in that regard, you've got a little bit of a sense that some of these guys want to get a little bit more crazy with their picks. Anthony Richardson's not an insane pick by any means to go number one. I mean, it follows a formula of great size and arm strength with the idea that we can develop this. But in reality, we sort of know that in the end, it is likely to be Bryce Young, the first quarterback off the board, if indeed the Bears trade that out, or take him himself, or C.J. Stroud. Those are the two quarterbacks. But the combine is where you need to watch this, because if Anthony Richardson blows the roof off at Indianapolis, and that is the buzz coming out, then you're going to see a lot more momentum for this. And when I was at Florida, there was a feeling. I was talking to a number of students and you know, my son's friends, and, you know, hearing about, you know, looking at the local Gainesville report, that is possible. So I'm curious. I'm not a huge combine guy by any means, because I don't necessarily know what to do with the data. Every time I've gotten into it, I felt like there's a strong case to be made for player A, B, or C. But in the end, I don't see it produce what I'm looking for. But it goes to show you a couple of things about the combine, which I really enjoy. One is that the NFL is always going to be present all the time. There always is something that is buzzing. I mean, look, am I surprised that after taking 2 days off and going away for a weekend and coming back and traveling back and forth and not really studying and looking at the news of the day all the time that Aaron Rodgers still hasn't made a decision and that Derek Carr hasn't found a home yet? No, I'm not surprised at all because I know how the dominoes are played. You give these things a little bit of time. You give these things a little bit room to breathe. But with the combine coming up, I know that there's going to be people energized and excited to see what these numbers mean. 40-yard dashes, what players do in interviews, Wonderlic test questions are going to be bouncing about, and you're going to be able to figure out some Wonderlic tests. I mean, they do it every single year. They show, here's some examples that these players are going to be answering on their Wonderlic test. But the player interviews, what you see, from the quarterback standpoint, the throwing exercises, the things like that, we're going to start seeing a real different analysis of where we could be at the end of April for the draft. All right, again, back to no news on the quarterback situation. I wasn't really surprised because I think in the end, the Aaron Rodgers domino is the one thing that has to fall. Last week, we were talking about the Jets, and they're so enamored with Derek Carr. Well, if they're so enamored with Derek Carr, why haven't they made a move yet? Why haven't they really established themselves as a presence? Because Aaron Rodgers is going to move the needle, right? As we know from Josh Alper last week and Alex Stroff, that Aaron Rodgers has a decision to make. Is there $60 million on the table? Does he want to play again? And if once he makes that decision, then the Packers and him have to figure out whether or not playing again means playing in Green Bay. Now, if Aaron Rodgers wants to retire and be done with the NFL, it sets the ball in motion for certain things. If he wants to play, now it sets it in different ways, right? Because if he does want to play in Green Bay, if he looks at the landscape of the NFC and says, this is where I want to be, this is what I want to, this is how I best am going to get Super Bowl number two for my career, then the Green Bay Packers have some questions that they have as well. What do we do with Jordan Love? We made an investment in Jordan Love. What do we do here? Do we really want Aaron Rodgers back? Now, my short answer would be yes. If you are looking for getting a Super Bowl and trying to win a Super Bowl, yes, that's the case. But the other question is, how frustrated are they with him? How he toys around with this? I mean, there doesn't seem to be a sense of, I'm as into this as you are. I'm on the same team, meaning I am as committed to this as you guys are committed to me, and together we will work this out. There isn't a feeling that is going on, right? That I thought this whole retreat into darkness thing was a troll. I don't think he really cares. I think he knows what he wants to do. I think he's toying around with his employer. I believe all of those things, right? And again, I'm not inside his head, but this is the way I'm sensing it. It doesn't feel like he's like, nope, let's get to work. Let's start all over. Let's figure this out. We had a bad season, but we're not going to have a bad season again. We're going to win this division. We're going to get a Super Bowl. Let's figure out what we need, and let's work together on getting what we need. Maybe we restructure my contract. All of those things are on the table. But I don't feel that way. That's why I think there is inevitably, I think there is a divorce coming. But Derek Carr, he may be deciding where he best wants to be. And that decision may be with the Jets. And he has to wait for the Jets who figure out Aaron Rodgers. And does he want to be a plan B or does he want to be a plan A? As we talked about before, quarterbacks, especially in this league, should be able to get the treatment that other free agents in this league get sometimes, right? You can wine and dine an offensive tackle that's free and clear. You can wine and dine a defensive end that's free and clear. You can wine and dine a wide receiver that's free and clear, and that is an unrestricted free agent. But we don't see good, solid quarterbacks with years left to be able to just roam around the NFL and pick and choose where they want to go. We don't see that. They get locked into a long-term deal or they get franchise tagged when they're ready to. All of those things happen to quarterbacks where they don't have necessarily the freedom. And when they do, it's usually at a point in their career where you're kind of taking a gamble if you bring them on, right? Peyton Manning's case, for example, he was released because of a neck injury. It really worked out for the Broncos. In Tom Brady's case, it was years that he had put on the old tires, if you will, but that worked out for Tampa Bay. But in most parts, you get older quarterbacks that are still grasping for 1 or 2 years left, and those are the ones that are kind of bouncing around, not a young, early 30s Derek Carr that can still win you some football games down the road. But if you are in that mode of visiting teams, listening to their pitch, don't you want to be the guy? I mean, don't you want to be that where the team is just opening up their doors for you and saying, listen, in the end, we think this can happen. The Jets said all the right things that you'd want to hear if you were on those kind of trips. But Aaron Rodgers is the one big domino that needs to be pushed over. And so, yeah, I'm not surprised that, again, just going on a little mini vacation, I didn't get any news or hear any news about any movement in the score. I think this is going to take a little bit here. All right, when we come back, we are going to talk about a little bit of the combine. We're going to get into the Colts situation because Indianapolis taking the number one pick from Chicago is gaining a little bit more steam. We'll talk about the NFL combine in general. But there is a lot going on here in the midweek on March 1st. We've got Kevin Durant expected to make his Phoenix Suns debut tonight in a new Western Conference where LeBron James is going to be making that big playoff push. Now he's injured again. We'll also talk about that. But nevertheless, glad to be back. I'm always kind of glad to be back. I go on these vacations, and then I come, whether it's a week-long vacation or just a short little trip. This was our final family weekend that we got to do at the University of Florida. Next year, it's all about graduation. It's always good to kind of get away, but I'm trying to devour as much stuff as I can while I am away. I had dinner with my son's roommates, and they're all big sports fans, so that was a really cool conversation to talk to some college kids, especially about the Florida Gators and their football team and their basketball team, which are not really up to their expectations. All right, so the NFL Combine, again, this week in Indianapolis. Should the Colts get that number one pick from the Chicago Bears? And if you're the Chicago Bears, what do you do? What do we expect to see this week as everyone goes to Indianapolis to sort of evaluate April's draft? It's all coming up. Tony D, Ron Culver. Glad to be back here on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue on Sports Map Radio. Well, Ron, you took 2 days off as well. Did you get well refreshed?
No, not at all.
No?
I had a honeydew list.
I walked all over the place this week. I mean, I just walked. We just walked everywhere. And I'm glad I'm not walking. Let me just put it to you that way. I walked Monday. We went down to Orlando. We walked around a place called Disney Springs, kind of like downtown Disney.
Yeah.
And then we went to a night event at Disney World till 1 a.m. And I walked like 12 miles. I was like, this is crazy. What am I walking all this time for? And I'm getting older and my legs don't exactly want to walk that distance anymore. But yeah, I was glad. When we got home, I was glad to be home. The one thing is, if I never see the inside of a restaurant again, all we did was eat. Restaurant. I don't mind going out to eat. But after a while, I can't deal with all the salt, everything, all the stuff that they put on it. I feel like so ridiculous. So I'm glad to be home, figuring out some home cooked meals because I'm done with restaurants, man. I'm done with rolls. All I was eating was rolls and just meat. Ugh. But we had a really good time. It was a really good trip. We flew and we were in one of those situations where from my house to my son's dorm in Gainesville, my son's apartment in Gainesville, would have been a 9-hour drive with no traffic. And we left the house at 1 o'clock in the afternoon Central Time. We drive to the airport to get there 2 hours early. We get there. The plane is delayed. We get on the plane. It's even more delayed as it's taxiing down the runway. We fly in Orlando, we wait in line for the car, rental car, we get the car, it's 2 hours from Orlando to Gainesville. I told my wife, I said, we were better off driving. Was all this hassle? Like, again, if we could have guaranteed no traffic in, like, Atlanta, which is impossible. But we almost made it to see him almost 9 hours after we left the house. And it cost me a lot more money than if I had just drove down. But I've said this many times. I like traveling. I like being in a different place. I don't like traveling. I don't like the process of getting from point A to point B. I love being in point B. I love it. Like when my vacation.
I think a lot of people are like that too.
I don't think anybody really enjoys airports.
Yeah.
Like I don't think people do. And I'm not. I don't like being in airplanes. I just don't. I'm bored. I can only read a magazine so much. I can only listen to downloaded podcasts and music so much. I don't fly first class, so I'm not in a comfortable seat. I usually don't fly planes that have like a TV in front of me that I can buy a movie. I don't enjoy being in the sky. I don't fear flying. I just don't enjoy being in a plane. And so we were at the airport in Orlando, and it was absolutely jam-packed. I mean, absolutely jam-packed. And all they do is yell at you all the time. There was one woman at the TSA line.
That was her whole job, right? Her whole job was to yell at you.
Her whole job was to yell, pack it in, keep the line moving. She did that forever. Forever. That's all she did. I was like, that's your job? You come to work every day, and the only thing you do is stand there to yell at people to make sure that they keep the line moving. I was like, goodness gracious. And then you go through security and everything. You take off your shoes and all that. But then that moment you're at the gate, you're just like, ah, great. I'm at the gate. Fantastic. And then you just see the hordes come in and, you know, and whatnot. But I got an airplane. I got a story to tell you on the airplane. Right? Now, here's the thing. It's one of those stories that I found funny, but you may not find funny, but I'm going to make a point. So we were in the plane, and we were sitting, and there was a couple in front of us, and it's three and three, so three seats. The wife was sitting on the edge of one row, and her two children were sitting towards the window, and she had a baby. And then the dad was sitting in the other row on the edge. All right, so he had the row with two strangers. She had a complete row with all the children. We were sitting directly behind them. And they were clear they were going to Disney World. She had a Disney shirt on. The kids had Disney stuff. So they were heading for a family vacation. So as we're taxiing towards the thing, you know how sometimes people put gum in their mouth because of the pressure? So he had one of those Arctic ice boxes of gum. You know those. You know what I'm talking about? The little, it's like a plastic case, and you pop the top.
Right.
And you kind of pour cubes of gum in your mouth. So he takes the box of that, opens it up, and he just shakes it, just pouring gum into his mouth, right? And his wife looks at him, and she's got that disgusted look on her face. And she looks at him, and she goes, "That's disgusting." Now, here's the thing. Because I've seen that face a million times from my wife, I found it hilarious. And I burst out laughing. Now, do you ever have that thing where it catches you, a funny moment catches you at the right time where you cannot stop laughing?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it doesn't make you laugh afterwards. But there was just something about that moment where you can't control your laughter. So that's what happened to me. I saw that and just, I found it hilarious because, again, I was just combining my own experience with what that guy was going through. And I start laughing. And then the momentum kicks in. So I had to lean over to my wife and I had to go, "Pretend like you're telling me a joke. Pretend like you're telling me a joke." So she has to lean in. And she has to whisper something so I could let out the laughter so it did not look like I was laughing at her and him. That's what I was almost in tears, Ron. I don't know why it caught me that funny. But I was like, I'm going to embarrass myself because this couple is going to know I am laughing.
I think it's because, like you said, you've seen that look before.
I've seen that
face. And you're not
times.
Getting it.
No, I know. And I'm watching somebody else get it from his spouse where he's...
And all you can do is look at him, go, you know, it's like almost like you want to go over and give him a handshake, chest bump or something. Like, I've been there. You're going to be all right. But,
exactly.
Dude, don't be stupid.
So, I know. And I'm like, see, but there for the grace of God go I, because my wife just reaches into her purse. She hands me a stick of spearmint gum. That's my gum to relieve the air pressure. If she had at the store gotten me a box of Arctic ice, that's exactly what I would have done. I would have opened up the top and shook a bunch of cubes into my mouth.
So it was like you're popping pills, right?
Right, right. So I was like, thank God my wife didn't get me that, because I would be totally where he is right now. But I was ready. I mean, I was ready to be outed, as I was like, I saw this whole thing and I'm laughing at you guys. So I had to bail. I had to eject, but I couldn't control the laughter part. So I was like, oh my God, I better slow down.
No, that is funny.
Yeah. I just found it more funny that I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I can't stop this. I'm trying to lean into the window to pretend, like, try to let. No, this is not stopping. It's just, that's the one thing. It's like, I think most people, when they get a laughing spill, it's one of those things where afterwards you go, why did I find that so funny? It just finds you funny at the right, almost like dialing up a specific thing, like a safe lock, where you just ride on 27 and then you ride on 13. It's like your brain is just in the right mood to let off a laughing fit. And that's what I was doing. So nevertheless, but otherwise a good trip, really fun, had a good time, and now rested. But I always try to keep up with sports news when I'm on vacation, but I always find myself behind. Like, I did not know LeBron had gotten hurt until a day or so later that he was injured. And again, I was trying to keep up with the NFL news about Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr, and I was glad nothing else had happened. That was my biggest worry when you're on vacation, is that a huge
story breaks, yep.
Break. So I was waiting on Monday. I figured that, you know, hey, the weekend, something might break, but whatever. But on Monday, I woke up in the hotel room and I was jumping on all the sites and I was like, all right, something today. Is it going to be brewing today? And we got no more news than when we left the show on Friday about the current carousel of quarterbacks that could take place. As I said at the top of the hour, it all stems on Aaron Rodgers being the chief domino. And then if Derek Carr likes the Saints, he should just sign with the Saints. If Derek Carr likes bouncing around a little bit and being treated and waiting out the offers, that's good. And still nothing on Lamar Jackson as well. And then the NFL went, okay, you know what? If you guys wouldn't mind pausing those decisions, because we've got the NFL Combine to talk about, they probably all agreed. Roger Goodell was probably like, nobody do a thing until we're done with 40-yard dashes and 3-cone drills and 60-yard shuffles. Until we're done with this, where everybody gets to, you know, put together mock drafts, then you guys get to work on signing your deals and whatnot. All right, Kevin Durant making his debut for the Phoenix Suns tonight. He's been out since January 8th when he was with the Brooklyn Nets. He's been traded, but he has been out hurt. And now the Western Conference looks rather interesting. We'll talk about that next. Coming up, hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. It's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue at SportsMap Radio on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Glad to be back after a couple days off. So Kevin Durant tonight, Phoenix Suns taking on the Charlotte Hornets. Kevin Durant is expected to play tonight for his brand new team. So if you've been following Durant's season, he got hurt, and then January 8th was the last time he played. He got hurt, and he's been out, and he was out for Brooklyn until early February, Super Bowl week. He got traded to the Phoenix Suns. And he has been out with this MCL injury until tonight. So the Phoenix Suns are currently fourth in the Western Conference, right? 10.5 games behind the Nuggets for first place. We are heading into the stretch run. Now, in the Eastern Conference, okay, there are three teams that I think can win the Eastern Conference, and that's it. Milwaukee, Boston, Philadelphia. Not sold on Cleveland. The Knicks are playing really good basketball right now. They've won six in a row. But I'm not buying them. I'm not buying Cleveland. I'm not buying Brooklyn now, a depleted Brooklyn Nets team that should be kind of falling by the wayside. Miami, Atlanta, I don't care who's surging. I don't care. It's Milwaukee who have won 15 in a row. The Celtics who have been on top of the conference since pretty much day one. Philadelphia with James Harden, who's one of the NBA leading scorers. Joel Embiid, who's one of the NBA leading scorers, and James Harden. Those are the three teams. But in the West, it is now very interesting, and it's very open. The Denver Nuggets are a team that has a MVP, two-time MVP in Nikola Jokic. They're finally putting together a team for Coach Malone that I think is worthy of having a two-time MVP. Before, that's not the case. They've had a lot of injuries, guys in and out of the lineup. They never really had a consistency that they do now. They're in first place. Not only are they in first place, they're in comfortable first place. Memphis Grizzlies, who gave Golden State, I think, one of the best runs of the Western Conference playoffs last year with Ja Morant, is in second place. Sacramento, De'Aaron Fox, young team, third. And here comes Phoenix. Now Phoenix is loaded, right? Phoenix is ready. Now with Kevin Durant. Golden State is fifth, the defending champions. The Clippers, as I've been saying over and over again, dangerous when Kawhi Leonard plays, not so much when he doesn't. They're load managing him. I know people hate it, but if you saw the way he played in the 2021 playoffs, you would load manage him too before he got injured. The Dallas Mavericks are seventh, but Kyrie and Luka not quite working well. 1-4 when both play. Defensively, they're terrible. Offensively, they're not as good. And that's about it. That's about it. You've got a Utah team that's in there, New Orleans without Zion, but that's about it. The Lakers were supposed to be an interesting team because since the trade deadline and Russell Westbrook being traded, and there's a feeling like LeBron James and the Lakers were going to be making this move, and LeBron was saying this is the most critical games of my career because he's never been in a position where he was really fighting for a playoff berth, and now he's fighting for a playoff berth. And now that's all gone because he got hurt and he's going to miss some significant time. And that's the other question that I've got. The Lakers acquired LeBron James and they won a bubble tournament. And I've said this many times. I know it's the bubble championship, but it's a championship. But I think that bubble atmosphere that happened in Walt Disney World a couple of years ago, it's going to get scrutinized more and more as the years go on. It's not going to be seen as something. It's going to be like this irregular thing that kind of shows up. We stopped the season in March. Everybody got a rest. We were in this very unsure, rather scary situation in the early days of the pandemic. I mean, I sort of look back on that time, and we're going on 3 years since that moment. At some point in this month, there'll be the third anniversary of the day everything shut down. And it was a really scary time. Right. SEC tournament was going on here in Nashville. That was one of the events that was trying to hang on till everyone else was like, shut down, shut down, shut down. And finally, the SEC basketball tournament said, no, we're done, too. Everybody else was they were getting games in. I think the Big East tournament. Do you remember that? Where there was an actual game going on and they just stopped it.
Yeah.
Like at halftime, I think they just said, that's it. Now we got to cut this out. What are we doing? The whole world was coming. And I think that bubble tournament is not going to be looked on the same way as other championships, even though officially it's a championship. It's a title. I think that you want to use the term load management? Let's use the term load management in the bubble, because that's exactly what they did. They were so cautious of this thing. They didn't want guys playing all the time. There was so much testing going on that the tournament had an entirely different feel than what you go through during the normal reigns of a NBA title. Being on the road right now, you know, whatever you're doing. But the Lakers won it. It's a legit title. It counts as a championship. There's no other way to put it. I know people want to say, should there be an asterisk? No, it was played under the agreement of the entities that are involved. Look, if the NBA ever said, you know what, we're not doing home court advantage anymore. We're doing neutral site, Las Vegas, 7-game series. That would count just as much as anything of traveling from Boston to L.A. or L.A. or Memphis to Milwaukee. Whatever those things are, it would count. And you may not like it. It's different, but it counts.
And the other thing I think about, too, is that everyone, I mean, Laker fans will go, yeah, you know, we got an NBA title. LeBron got an NBA title. And it's really the rest of the league that goes, it's a bubble tournament. But if your team won, how would you feel?
How would your team feel? Exactly. If your team won.
Would you say, I don't know, it's a championship?
No, it didn't have that feeling like Golden State when the crowd is going nuts. Or, you know, it didn't have that same level. Even if you went on the road, right? It didn't have that same big crowd, big moment feel. No, but it still counts. But the reality...
And I'm not trying to be an apologist for them, but... It might have been harder because they couldn't feed off the crowd.
They couldn't feed off a crowd. They couldn't. They could not. There was no sense. There was no place you could go to, like, regroup. You were doing the same thing every single day. Like, if you were running into a snag, you were still, like, you couldn't have a players-only a meeting outside of the gym, right? Like, you couldn't gather at somebody's house or something like that. Like, you were waking up, you were having breakfast in the same place, you were working out in the same place, you were being tested by the same people. Like, there was just this consistency day in and day out of that bubble. But the other flip side of LeBron's legacy in Los Angeles is his injuries. That's all he's had, right? Injuries, injuries, injuries. You get a little bit of momentum, and he gets hurt. You get a little bit more momentum, then he gets hurt. And he misses these periods of time. Now, look, nobody's put more mileage on the tires than LeBron James. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But it's got to be, if you're a Laker fan, and I know you are, there had to have been a feeling of, look, especially when Westbrook was gone, there was let's pop this. We may not make a run to beat the Nuggets. We may not make it to the finals. But, hey, with LeBron, you never know. In the postseason, you never know. And if we're playing really good basketball, by the time we get this thing going to the playoffs and LeBron is ready to pop, maybe there's something there. And now they're going to have to go on without him. And there's no way, as one of the players said, there's no way to man up when LeBron James is not in your lineup. You're doing something completely different. When LeBron's on the court, he sees the court better than any player in the game. And you don't have that individual that can do that. And defenses that had to really account for LeBron now don't have to account for him. It's an entirely different way the Lakers are going to have to try to play if they're going to want to make a push, so that when he is coming back, the Lakers are in a position to get back into this thing. There is a very, very, very small gap between number 4 Phoenix and number 12 Lakers. It's a 4-game difference in the standings. That's not bad, but it's a lot of people you have to climb over. Right? In order for the Lakers to get in, they have to beat out the Trailblazers who are on the outside looking in, right? Then they've got to get into a party that's got Minnesota, Utah, the Pelicans. Dallas is right now still in the play-in game, struggling with Kyrie and Luka. There's a Western Conference here that is loaded with stories. I mean, absolutely loaded with stories. And despite the dominance of Golden State for the last half decade plus, it feels like that's always the case with the West, right? No, yeah, there's Giannis in the East. There's James Harden going to Brooklyn and then Philadelphia. There's the Celtics who have climbed up to be a power, right? But since LeBron left the East, there isn't the same level of stories. Even LeBron was in the East. It was like, you got to beat LeBron. So no matter how good you are, you got to beat LeBron. But now that he's with the Lakers, here's the Western Conference again. Again, the marriage of Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. Kevin Durant making a debut for Phoenix Suns team. Now we got to pay attention to. The injury to LeBron James and the Lakers trying to now win games without him so that they can at least be in the play-in game when he finally comes back. Golden State has been absolute mediocre garbage all season long. And now they might be making a push to show who they really are when they get in the postseason. Denver has got a 2-time MVP, and they're really starting to put together, but would you buy stock in the Nuggets in the playoffs? Would you buy stock in Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies? Would you buy stock in De'Aaron Fox and the Sacramento Kings? I know, I feel bad a little bit for LeBron here. I know LeBron's really, really trying to take a team on his back like he did in the days, but he's getting older, and these injuries are just piling and piling up since he got to Los Angeles. It's been a lot of injuries for LeBron James.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Oh, I did want to tell you, Ron, I actually made a note. Tell Ron this.
Okay.
So, when my wife
I'll
and
let
I
him
were
know.
At the, my wife, on Monday, my wife and I were at that Disney Springs area.
Yeah.
That has, it's got a bunch of restaurants and stuff like that. Well, we were walking around. We were basically doing, you know, I was like, let's go get a small bite to eat somewhere. And we found this little bar. And we looked up on it, and it had a few appetizers. And we're like, that's perfect. Let's go get a, drink. Let's get a few things to eat.
Okay, I'm liking this so far.
Yeah, so we had a big dinner planned. So we were like, let's not, we don't want to eat too much, but we got to get something. So I walked into this place. It was like an airplane hangar. It's like that was the decor.
Okay.
And I was like, it looked like you were in a plane. Had a bunch of like, you know, it's like a themed thing.
Right.
It had a bunch of things from like the 20s and 30s, and It had like some sort of tropical airplane feel to it. And I was looking at the menu and whatnot. I was like, this place is kind of cool. And I told the waiter, I'm like, man, this place is kind of neat. And he goes, oh, yes, it's Jock Lindsey's Hangar Bar. And I go, oh. He goes, do you remember the pilot in Raiders of the Lost Ark? And I go, yeah. And he goes, well, this is his place. And the waiter goes on a spiel about how this was the guy had, you know, landed the plane here and decided to open up a restaurant bar. He's not in the movies very long. He's the guy that saves Indy from,
yeah,
you know, Indy's running from the tribe. They're blowing his, the poisonous darts. He's got the monkey.
The snake.
Yeah, Reggie.
Oh, that's just Reggie.
Right. And that's the character. That's the guy that's the guy they're theming the bar around.
And so, but I mean, is he like an owner of the bar, or they
that's the deal was, the story was that he was lost, and he landed in this area, this Orlando area. And then he decided to stay. His plane didn't work. So he just turned it into a bar. Cause that's what it looks like. It looks like you're walking into an abandoned plane that was kind of turned into a bar.
Gotcha.
But I started looking around, and the memorabilia is actually kind of neat. And one of the things is there's a cage, and it says Reggie, and it's open. So it's kind of that was kind of wild.
What's the place called?
It's called Jock Lindsey's Hangar Bar. And I had no idea until I went in there what this was. I literally was like, this looks kind of cool. It doesn't look busy. They don't seem to have a wait. Like, let's just go get some food. And then sure enough, I'm like, oh, it's a Raiders of the Lost Ark themed thing. Kinda. Not really, but kinda. But what a weird character to kind of theme your bar around.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering. I mean, he's
not really in the rest of the movie.
No.
That's kind of
He never made an appearance in any of the sequels.
That's right. No, he's not in any of the sequels. He's just the guy that gets Indy out of the trouble.
I'm looking at pictures of it right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks pretty cool.
It really was. It was really neat. It was really neat. And we only chose it because we walked up, and they had the menu on the outside, and it was exactly what we were looking for. We didn't want a sandwich with French fries and all that stuff. My wife got like a little flatbread. I got like some sliders. That's all we were looking for. And when we looked in, nobody was eating. Like nobody was. There were tables available, and the lady said, "You can come and seat yourselves." So I'm like, "Oh, we can get sat right away. We don't have to. We don't need a text message when our table is ready." And I was like, "Let's just eat here." And sure enough, I stumbled into an Indiana Jonesy type of thing. It was kind of cool. It was kind of cool. So I thought I'd tell you that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it looks,
because you and I have talked about the our love for the Harrison Ford trilogy,
yeah,
which now is a 5-movie thing. Are you going to watch the
I am. You know what? I've watched a couple of previews now, or the same preview a couple of times, I think. Maybe that's a better way to say it. And I'm not entirely upset with age regressed Harrison Ford.
Yeah, I'm okay. Here's why I'm going to see it, because I know people are trashing this thing. Here's why I'm going to see it, because I'm invested in this thing, and if you want to give me junk, I'll take the junk too. I'm he's one of my favorite movie characters of all time.
Yeah,
and it's one of the few characters that I have had my entire life. Right. So I saw Raiders of the Lost Ark in the movie theaters when I was a little kid, and I'll go see this ending. Now, I may not like it, and I may trash it, but I'm okay with giving him my money, because I know people are like, it's a cash grab. I'm invested into it. I like the movie.
And here's the deal, right? It's got to be better than Crystal Skull.
Yeah, Crystal Skull was terrible.
I mean, it can't get any worse, right?
Luckily, I saw Crystal Skull for free. I saw it at a movie premiere that we were doing for the radio station. So
Now, the only part I liked about Crystal Skull was the very beginning.
Yeah, the very beginning
when he was captured by the Nazis, escaped the Nazis, and then escaped a nuclear bomb in a lead refrigerator. I was like, all right.
Would that really work? Would you be able to survive a nuclear blast?
Okay, you might be able to survive, but wouldn't he? I mean, I guess he was washed down.
Why would it melt with him?
Because I guess it's lead.
I guess.
I mean, that's what they put on you when they take an X-ray.
That's true.
So I guess a lot of it would save you, but
maybe the science is real. I don't know.
I know, but I mean, I was into it from that moment. And then I don't dislike Shia LaBeouf, but once he entered the movie, it was like, okay, I'm done. And then it just went this weird way.
People said that they didn't like the supernatural part of it, the aliens. I'm like, the first movie was about ghosts in a box.
Yeah.
Like a religious relic where spirits came out and melted people's faces.
All the movies.
What are you talking about?
All three movies are religious, spiritual things.
He walked in and there was an old knight who was drinking out of the cup and had been alive.
Who was the bravest of his brothers.
What do you mean you didn't like the supernatural? Like, you can say that the supernatural didn't fit what you like. That's fine. But all three movies are based on spiritual, supernatural elements. Are you in your mind? Are you kidding? That's a whole trilogy before they added these other movies to it. So, like, people like Time Machine, really? I'm like, oh, yes! Like, why wouldn't there be? I remember being, when I was a kid and I saw Raiders of the Lost Ark, I freaked out when that guy's face melted.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
I mean, I still get butterflies knowing it's coming.
I know, me too.
Like, he's about to get liquidated.
And he's yelling at Marion, clamp your eyes closed.
Yeah.
Right?
And you just have ghosts flying back and forth all over the place, like hitting all the Nazis.
That's great. Oh, my goodness.
And when I was younger, I couldn't understand it. I didn't know. I was like, oh, do they just know who the bad guys are?
Right.
Or, then as I got older, it's like, oh, no, I guess if you're looking at the Ark, you're dead.
You're dead. Whatever comes out of the Ark, if you look at it, you're done. That's basically that. So anyway, I thought I'd tell you that I got to
check that out now, because I would love just to walk in there. Maybe not. I don't even need to order anything. I would just want to walk around and look around. I would like to try to find Reggie.
No, that's what I did. But once it was funny because once he told us that, there was another couple and he didn't know that either. And he was like, I'm going to look around.
So
and
it's not
looked around.
It's not
and
like
I said, I'm doing the same thing.
You didn't know, like walking in like, oh, look at all the Indiana Jones stuff.
Yeah, I didn't notice it. It was more about him. He's like he had like trophies from flying competitions and things. But it was all based in like the 30s.
OK.
Like 20s and 30s.
You're right. That is a weird character. I'm trying
on.
To think of like other characters in film.
Yeah. But there was all sorts of little knickknacks from the movie that were kind of cool, like little tiny things. And once I got to really look, like I told my wife, I'm going to look around, just go ahead. And I'm just like, I went around and I was just looking at stuff, just looking at the stuff that was on the wall. And it wasn't busy, so I wasn't really bothering anybody. But it was very cool. Very, very well themed. So that was kind of fun. But again, when's that movie come out? This summer, Indiana Jones 5?
I think so.
Is that that's coming out? So, nevertheless. Anyway, speaking of watching,
I guess would that be the same like if you did a Jurassic Park themed restaurant, and you did it after the one hunter guy? Well, he was in the movie a lot.
The hunter?
Yeah.
Yeah. But he was. That was it, right? The raptor got him, and
the raptor got
that
him.
Was it. Yeah, is he? There,
but would that would it be? Like I guess it would be equivalent of like maybe it's his trophy room.
Ah, wait. How about if you did a theme from the guy that finds? Hold on.
Or the guy, the very initial guy who found the amber.
They found the amber.
He's a digger like me.
Like a digger like me. Yeah. What if you found? What if you did something based on him?
That's what it is.
Right. First couple of minutes. That was the question that I was going to ask, but I didn't want to spoil the theming.
Right.
Like, all the waiters are into it and all that stuff. They got a story to tell. They tell it like it's real. You know, it's a whole Disney aspect of it.
Yeah,
you
know? I mean, do they come forward and like, well, everyone's done a restaurant on Chuck Yeager.
Yeah, right, yeah. You know, exactly.
Name
yeah.
another famous pilot.
Exactly. All right, coming up in hour number two, we'll talk NFL Combine. What are the players of the watch for? Now that LeBron's hurt, what is his legacy in Los Angeles? We've also got two decades of one city dominating sports, and if you thought it was over, you were mistaken, because they are really red hot.